Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Scott, one of the fascinating parts of this primary election for governor, all seven of these candidates have slightly different backgrounds, in some cases dramatically different backgrounds. We just talked with Rick Snyder, who has really no government background, and now we're going to chat with someone who has not only Lansing experience, but also Washington experience, and that is 2nd District U.S. Congressman Pete Hoekstra. Hello, Pete. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing just fine. Thank you. Great to be with you.
I want to talk a little bit about the way this race is going, and a lot of people thought that you would be a front runner early on. The polls seem to indicate that was indeed the case. And in the last week or so, we have seen a surge from Rick Snyder, depending on which numbers you look at. It's a very, very close race. Why has he come up in the polls?
Well, actually, if you take a look and you peel back the numbers among likely voters, you haven't seen that much of a surge. And, you know, we've stayed very well positioned up in front. And, you know, a lot of these poll numbers vary depending on the sampling and mm-hmm. those types of things. I'm not sure that that there has been a surge in that direction. Actually, all of our polling indicates we're doing and continue to do very well. I might only correct one thing that you said in the intro. I think a lot of people early on in this race thought that I'd be out by December or January of 2000, out by January of 2010. And we proved a lot of the pundits wrong. We've done actually much better than what people expected.
Well, I thought you were here for the long haul, so you haven't surprised me that way.
Yeah, well, good then.
I want to talk a little bit about jobs, and every candidate in this race has talked about the importance of jobs, job generation. How does Pete Hoekstra do that?
Well, actually, what Pete Hoekstra and a Pete Hoekstra administration do is they create a much better environment for businesses in Michigan, small, medium-sized businesses. We get bureaucracy out of the way and get bureaucrats to work with businesses to facilitate economic growth. We reduce state spending, and we reform probably one of the worst economic tax structures in the country with the Michigan business tax, the personal property tax, the non-homestead property tax. You know, we've got a terrible, terrible tax structure that has to be reworked and restructured. We get government out of the way, you know, rather than, you know, celebrating one big company creating 300 or 400 jobs here or there. Hopefully what we'll be start seeing in Michigan is 50,000-60,000 small businesses seeing Michigan as a better place to do business, seeing their business improve and all going out and hiring 1, 2, 3 people to expand their business in a growing economy.
2nd District United States Congressman and GOP gubernatorial candidate Pete Hoekstra, our guest on Ebling and You. Pete, we have a growing partisan divide in Lansing, and it has led to obstruction and stalemate on an increasing basis. It has made budgets late. It has made it very difficult for anything to get accomplished. How do you reach across the aisle and get Democrats to go along with some of your plans?
Well, what you do is, number one, you recognize that Democrats and Republicans are going to want to get some things done. We're going to have a whole new crop of legislators coming into Lansing that are going to be receptive, I hope, to improving the state. We all want Michigan to be a better state. We all want more jobs. We all want money for education and those types of things. So I think you're going to see a receptive atmosphere. What you then need to do is, on November 3, the day after the general election, recognizing you're going to come off a tough election on November 2, but start reaching out and saying, okay, we're going to start building those personal relationships that enable us to work together on really, really tough issues, but we don't have to make it personal. So we're going to start trying to establish a climate in Lansing that says, let's work towards results, let's recognize we have differences, but let's not make it personal. Then you start working with people on both sides of the aisle, provide the leadership as where you want to go, and recognize that, as in any negotiation, you're not going to get everything that you want, and that there's going to have to be some element of compromise. But the important thing is that you're moving the ball down the field And from my perspective, it means we're moving the ball towards down the field in terms of giving people more economic freedom and opportunity in this state, and recognizing that, you know, we're going to have to be very, very selective about whatever compromises we make. And it'll be selective on some of the tactics we use. It won't be compromise on the on principle, but it will be compromised perhaps in how we execute towards our principle. You got to treat the other side with dignity and respect. It's amazing how working in a civil environment, recognizing that people come from different backgrounds, having different perspectives, you know, if you treat them with civility, how you maybe can create that more productive atmosphere. Hey, it will be hard, but you got to do it.
Pete, you signed on to endorse a lot of the Tea Party principles. I know that there was a group of congressmen on the list that was released last week. Are there any ways that you differ from the Tea Party, or is the Tea Party platform basically your platform and what we would be likely to see as governor?
Well, I think you got to be careful there. There is no Tea Party platform. You know, Tea Parties, as I've talked with them across the state, you know, they have different priorities, different agendas. If they're talking about fiscal discipline, if they're talking about states' rights, if they're talking about lower taxes, they're talking my language. And so those are the same kinds of things that, you know, that I believe. There may be other cases where we are talking about, you know, other issues where, you know, you may not be. I mean, I recognize that you've got to make some compromises to get some things done. There are some parts, not only the Tea Party, but there are some parts on both the far left and the far right who believe that any compromise is a sellout. I don't believe that. So, but, you know, we've also been endorsed by people like the Teamsters and the Carpenters, the Firefighters. I think what people are looking at when they endorse me or when I work with them is, you know, Hoekstra's a guy that we can work with. We don't agree with Pete on everything, but he's always got an open-door policy. He always treats us with civility. And when we disagree with him, he'll fight like crazy with us, but he'll never make it personal. And when we agree, we will work like crazy together towards reaching the same objectives. But we're not going to make these fights personal because we recognize that the people we disagree with today may be the people that we need to work with tomorrow.
Pete, this has been a very tough campaign. Some would say nasty, and they pointed to accusations and commercials that have gone back and forth. In terms of your relations with the other Republican candidates, has this been a little tougher campaign than you envisioned, or did you expect it to be pretty much this tone?
No, I mean, I'm a little bit surprised. I mean, I've got you know, some of my Republican colleagues who have, you know, I think at the last estimate by some independent folks have said they've spent $3 million on negative ads against Pete Hoekstra. They've distorted my record. They've distorted my principle.
What's the biggest distortion?
Well, I think the biggest distortion may be, you know, that Pete's for raising taxes or that Pete's a big spender. And they're actually, you know, it's kind of fun because they tried to peddle that months ago. And people across the state know anybody that sleeps on his couch in his office in Washington for 18 years probably is not a big spender. And so, you know, they've gone way out on the limb and distorted the record. And, you know, the thing is, it hasn't worked. What it's demonstrated is that if you go too far off the record, your message is not going to stick. And we're actually, I'm really grateful to the voters of Michigan because it appears as we head into election day tomorrow that they've not fallen for this. Those people that treated them with a lack of respect and dignity by putting all of these misleading ads out there, the voters of Michigan weren't fooled by them. Matter of fact, they're holding these candidates accountable for these distortions. And so while we've had to answer some questions about that, you know, it hasn't... they haven't been able to tarnish my reputation.
Pete, how many couches have you gone through in those 18 years? And I hope you've gotten them all from Grand Rapids.
Well, I wish I could have gotten some Steelcase or Herman Miller couches, but they're all government-issue couches. They are, you know, they're vinyl couches. You know, I've probably gone through three or four different couches. So, and I can tell you, none of them were very comfortable.
Well, I hope that we'll be able to talk with you again after the primary tomorrow. Pete Hoekstra, 2nd District U.S. Congressman, and maybe we can say co-favorite, depending on which poll numbers you are looking at for the Republican nomination for governor. Thanks so much, Pete.
Hey, always good to be with you. Thank you.
All right. We'll be back in just a moment. We're going to talk with Caitlin Dewey, a Kiplinger.com contributing writer, and the idea that Lansing is one of the top 10 cities in the country for young people, as we mentioned last week. We'll be right back with more after this check of weather and sports.